T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And we're brought to you by WeatherSeal Home Services, just a dollar down, coming to you from Mike's Beer Bar, directly across from PNC Park on Federal Street. 80 rotating taps of craft beer, offering over 500 different varieties of beer. What a way to start your night with a trip down here. You can bring your dogs, and then you can take them into the game, too, with a pup night at PNC Park as the Pirates start a 3-game series with the Rockies. Joining us right now, a few days early, is our NFL insider, John Clayton, the professor, all those days at ESPN, Braddock Zone, covered the Steelers for a long time.
Probably had Duquesne Pilsners in his day.
Duquesne Pilsners?
Oh, yeah, I threw that one at you, too. You didn't know about that one.
John, is that true, Duquesne Pilsners?
I think I may have tasted one or two through the years, but, yeah. Was it Old Spotting Floss, or what was it called? Remember that one?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've heard all the stories about Old Frothing Slosh from my father and uncles.
Yeah, but I still remember. Anyway, I remember how hard it was to find a Duquesne Pilsner. I don't know why.
It's coming back now, John. That's all that matters for Pittsburgh.
I've been told it's on the
comeback.
Okay. John,
Are Iron City Beers making another comeback, too?
Oh, I think they're all back.
Yeah,
they're all coming back.
Well, now that we got that out of the way, I want to ask you about Ben Roethlisberger, who did a sit-down with Channel 2 this week. He apologized for some things that went wrong with Antonio Brown and even took some culpability for the things that have been said on his radio show in the last year, John. Just in the NFL circles, the people you talk to, is it pretty split on who gets blamed for that relationship, Ben or Antonio Brown, or does one guy get most of the blame when you talk to NFL people?
No, I think it goes both ways, and I don't know which way you lean. I mean, certainly the comments that Ben made against Antonio, that's going to provoke something, so it probably leans toward Ben. But, you know, and that's one of the realities of the National Football League. It's the realities of sports. If you have guys together 7, 8, 9, 10 years, however long it's going to be, there's going to be times where the relationship's going to fray. And, you know, one thing is, you can see that Ben is making a concerted effort to try to clean everything up. But through the years, I mean, he's had some difficulties, without question. You know, he's not the friendly. He's friendly, I guess it'd be. He's friendly, but sometimes maybe a little aloof, if that's what you want to call it. And then, you know, I don't know what got into him in the last couple of years that he's been openly critical on the air. That's something that's a little bit different from where it was in the beginning. But I think you can see that the mission right now for him is to try to clean everything up and make it right for this year and the rest of his career.
John, I think we know generally where Ben slots in with most analysts and football people as far as his actual abilities on the field, like the rough area in the quarterback hierarchy. But in terms of being a leader, being a guy that his teammates rally around, what do people say about him in comparison to some of the other best quarterbacks in the league? I mean, how is he? You just said he's viewed as somewhat aloof. Is he viewed as a good actual leader by football people?
Yeah, I mean, his leadership on the field is really where the strength is. Maybe it's not as good in the locker room. Maybe it's not as good off the field. But I think you can see it on the field because what he does is he wins, and he makes the plays, and he makes the moves that you need. I mean, he may fight through some injuries, and sometimes it looks like he's got injuries that aren't really injuries, and he'll come off the field, but he always comes back. And the leadership he shows on the field is among the best in football. You can see that. You know, he's arguably, I don't know how it goes with Kurt Warner's ratings, but, I mean, I still consider him the quarterback in the league. And then, I mean, you can see Tom Brady can be rough on his teammates, but it works. You can see sometimes Aaron Rodgers, can maybe irritate his coach and irritate him. So I think there's different personality things, and I think now we're in a stage of reporting where, because of social media, investigative people and all that stuff, I mean, you have more negative shot stories at some of the top players and some of the top quarterbacks. I mean, look what's going on in the NBA with Kevin Durant. And so it's just now, I think, part of the reality. But ultimately, I mean, you're judged with what you do on the field, and it comes out well with Ben Roethlisberger.
We're talking to John Clayton, our NFL insider. John, do you think that Juju Smith-Schuster is good enough to step into that role and put up number one wide receiver-like numbers?
Yes, I do. I think he's that good. I think you saw it last year. Now, again, I'm not going to say he's going to be better than Antonio Brown, because that would be completely unfair, because when you start to look at the efforts and what Antonio was able to do, I mean, you're talking about a borderline Hall of Fame career. And to put Juju Schuster in the, you know, the idea of being a Hall of Famer is just way too early. But I think you saw it last year. Probably Antonio didn't like it, but he put up Antonio type of numbers, and I think he can do that. And, you know, I think Larry Fitzgerald says it the best, you know, when he talked about Antonio leaving. It's like, you're not going to get a quarterback as good as Ben. And, you know, he, as Ben was saying, I mean, Antonio made him better, but he made Antonio better, and he makes Schuster better.
John, that sort of brings me to my next question, which is this. In the pretty heated debate, I think you can get some people into it at least, who was more responsible for the success of the Brown-Roethlisberger duo? Which side do you come down on? Who made the other guy more than the other?
I think it's always the quarterback. I mean, you can talk about the receivers and how well they do, and certainly the receivers, you know, go out there and catch the passes. But Ben was successful before Antonio got in this league. And so I put this on, you know, Ben, and I think you put this on most of the quarterbacks. Hey, you want to surround the quarterbacks with the best talent you possibly can, because the more talent he has, the more chances you have of going to the Super Bowl and better. And, of course, the one thing that you realize, I mean, this is one of the toughest conferences to be able to pull off Super Bowl wins, because it's Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. They're the ones that have dominated for the longest period of time. And so some of the things that I think you'll become overly critical, saying, well, you know, you pay a quarterback this amount of money and, you know, he doesn't win a Super Bowl. Well, I mean, right now Tom Brady's the one that wins the Super Bowls. But I think that I put this on Ben. It's the quarterback's the one who runs the show. The quarterback's the one who makes the most money. And the quarterback is the one that also takes the biggest criticism.
John Clayton joining us right now on the Fan Hotline, brought to you by Armstrong Business. In today's Post-Gazette, John, Ron Cook said, give Mike Tomlin a contract extension today. Let's do it. Let's not wait any longer with him. The team should send a strong message that they believe in Tomlin. And inside the column, Ron said that Tomlin is the second best coach, essentially, in the NFL. He ranked him ahead of Sean Payton, Pete Carroll, and John Harbaugh. Do you share that opinion? Do you think Tomlin, A, deserves an extension right now with 2 years left on his deal? And would you rank him as the second best head coach in football?
I think that he does deserve an extension, but I would wait. I would wait to see how this locker room cleans up, and I think the team will wait. And I think once you see that the things are in good shape, then you give him the contract extension. There's no urgency to be able to do it now. I mean, he's paid well. He's under contract. I mean, he's under no threat of being fired. That, I think, is pretty evident. But I think that if I was the Steelers, I would wait. Second-best coach? No, I think that's a little bit too high. Yeah, because, I mean, you look at the successes of the Sean Paytons and also the Pete Carrolls. I would definitely put him ahead of John Harbaugh. I mean, so where would that put him? In the 5 or 6 range? But a 2, I think that's a little bit too high.
John, I know I've asked you this question or a variant of it before, but I wanted to drill into a little bit different direction. You have said, you've often made the comparison with us, Pete Carroll and the Seahawks and some of the disgruntled players on that team being shipped out of town or leaving and things sort of improving as far as morale goes. I don't know if I've ever asked you if Pete Carroll, commensurate or at the same time that that was happening, if Pete Carroll did anything appreciably different with his coaching style once those guys were out of there. Did he, and do you think Mike Tomlin needs to do anything different of his own volition this year now that Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell aren't around?
Certainly you can upgrade what you're doing, but if you make a drastic change, then it's not going to work. I mean, you have to be what you are, and you shouldn't change what you are. I mean, if you look at the way that Pete Carroll coaches, he coaches the same way. If anything, he went back to where he was back in 2011, 2010, 2012, trying to create competition, to try to weed out guys that may have no longer got the belief, and taking it that way. And so, I was just with him 30 minutes ago. He shows the same energy. I mean, he does a lot of the same things as far as what they do in meetings. I mean, they start the meetings each day with shooting basketball hoops. They have a one-on-one challenge that hasn't changed, and he creates great energy and he tries to make it fun for the players. But it's also hard work, and I think that if Mike would change what he does, that would be bad. The big thing is, try not to make as many exceptions on some of the guys if they start to act up. I mean, I think you try to pull that in. I mean, you make sure that Ben has people following him as he should be as the leader of the team and the quarterback. But no, I don't think you make a major change, because if you do, nobody's going to believe it. You're going to come off looking a phony.
All right, John. David Carr, NFL Network, said Joe Montana was an average quarterback, was a system quarterback. Bill Walsh should get the credit. NFL defenses couldn't adjust to the West Coast offense. Steve Young was a better quarterback. David Carr did not have Joe Montana in his top 10 quarterbacks of the Super Bowl era. You have covered most of the Super Bowl era. Is that one of the most ridiculous opinions you've heard ever?
Yeah, although I wasn't with Kurt Warner on having Russell Wilson not in the top 10 of quarterbacks, so I thought that was a little bit off. But no, that's just absolutely ridiculous. Hey, it killed me as a guy from Pittsburgh who had the fortunes of covering Joe Montana to take Joe Montana from number one and put him number two behind Tom Brady. It killed me to do it, but I had to do it. I mean, I look at Joe Montana as being the second best quarterback of all time. Yeah, and I say that. I mean, John Elway is up there. I mean, he's in the top five. But I think when you look at the championships, the way that Montana played, and then even think about what he did when he went to Kansas City. He's all beaten up. The body's starting to fall apart. And yet, he goes out there and competes and has them have one of their better playoff seasons. I mean, Joe Montana was the second best only because Tom Brady came along and was better.
John, what if I were to tell you, though, that if I could have each of the two big-time 49ers quarterbacks at their best for a game, I'd much rather have Steve Young playing than Joe Montana. How would you respond to that?
Maybe in this era right now, because the running quarterback is has a certain value, and he was a running quarterback. I still go back to Joe. Again, one thing is that when they had the West Coast offense, and again, sometimes it's the combination of the coach and the quarterback. That's where you see it with what's going on in New England. I mean, Bill Belichick is probably going to go down as the greatest coach of all time, and Tom Brady the greatest quarterback. But what Bill Walsh was able to do was revolutionary. I mean, he basically put basketball in motion on the field, and Joe Montana was sharp enough and effective enough to be able to execute it and execute it to a degree that people couldn't keep up with it. So, if you're talking about now and you want a little bit more of that mobile quarterback that's a little bit bigger and can get you some yards, I mean, Steve Young's it, but in his prime, I still go with Joe.
Where does John Clayton come down on the greatest Steelers quarterback of all time debate?
That's Terry Bradshaw. I still stand by that. You got the four Super Bowls. And remember, I mean, he did it at a time where the stats were meaningless for the quarterback because it was a running league. I mean, you'd have games where Bob Greasy would throw 9 passes and Terry would throw 16 or 17 passes. But, in the big games is where he rose. And, of course, having the fortune of being able to watch as many practices as I did and watch that arm and the way that he threw the football, I mean, it was the perfect spiral going deep downfield, and just was phenomenal to watch. And then just watched how in the big games that he would come up and just say things like, hey, coach wants us to do this play. I'm throwing that out. We're going to throw deep to Swanee. And then all of a sudden that's what he does, and it works. I as great as Roethlisberger is, and Ben will make the Pro Football Hall of Fame as a first ballot, Kerry was better.
John, thanks for fitting us in earlier this week. We'll talk to you again next week, man.
Okay, sounds good.
There you go, John Clayton, our NFL insider.
I had one
Bradshaw
more for
Bradshaw over Ben.
Do you agree with it?
No, I don't.
There's an unknowable for me that makes it a very hard question. One, and we didn't have time to ask him, but did Bradshaw to what degree him about like I'm a dumb, you know, I'm playing into the dumb country guy rhetoric that gets thrown at me, and I'm really pretty cerebral. If Bradshaw plays in this era the way quarterbacks are protected with that arm, what does he do?
I think Bradshaw, the first Super Bowl when they beat Minnesota, was basically like Trent Dilfer for them.
Okay. That's still he still has three more where he wasn't, and that's one more than Ben.
You can text us on the Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder reminds you to text responsibly. Ben Roethlisberger on AB from this perspective. Did he force throws to AB? Did he turn the ball over because of AB? Did it actually drain or strain his abilities? You'll find out next. Andrew Filippone and Chris Muller live from Mike's Beer Bar. It's the PM team on the fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.